Blog Talk Radio.
There we go, there we go. Everybody on, huh? Had a little bit of little technical difficulties, but we on live right now, so everybody doing. This is the second episode. We basically, you know, we're able to interact a little bit more with the people. You know, so the ASSC Direct podcast was kind of like set up for that particular reason, so we can get a little bit more interaction and stuff with the people, with the callers, you know, and then giving y'all a little bit of a voice, you know, giving y'all some little something to talk about tonight. We're going to be talking about the harsh treatment from narcissists, you know. I know a lot of people, you know, who've dealt with these individuals, you know, have encountered these things, and, you know, you start feeling a certain way, you start getting into a certain mindset from, you know, being around a narcissist. And another thing, too, we got to understand narcissists always treat their nearest and dearest the worst. So if you're, you know, an individual that is with the narcissist or whatnot, you're going to be more than likely the one that gets, you know, treated the worst, at least, you know. It's kind of like how it works, though. You know, narcissists, they go around and they what they call it, the altruism. They go around being nice, friendly to everyone else around them. And then to those who's closest to them, you get the dog treatment, you know, and that's just because a lot of your enthusiasm and stuff like that you've, you know, gotten so accustomed to, you know, giving them starts to wear off when you start to really see who you're dealing with. You know, narcissists realize after a certain point that you're on to them, and they like, you know, I can't get nothing out of this person no more. You know what I'm saying? So they start backing off, and they start to try to teach you a lesson. They start, you know, visually showing you how they can be, you know, show affection and stuff to outsiders, people who they, you know, complete strangers. You know, when you see this, you'd be like, wait a minute. The hell's going on? How are you showing people who you don't even know, you know, befriending them, being kind to them, you know, being, loving, and sometimes too to complete strangers? And you have to understand that that's a whole part of trying to tear you down for not giving them that, that whole, you know, admiration and love and attention that you used to give them. I mean, it wears off after you find out what you're dealing with and who you're dealing with, because everybody else doesn't know that the narcissist is full of crap. Everybody doesn't know that. So the stranger don't know that. So the stranger is going to give them back the utmost type of treatment that they, you know, feel that they would be deserving of, not knowing that the narcissist is fake and false and all these other things. So it works well for them, and they can get by with that with a stranger. That's why they do it. And it's not necessarily the fact that, you know, they may be even around to see it. You know, it's like, for example, you could go out to a restaurant and it'd be like, you can go to like a pizzeria or something and get two slices of pizza that might cost $10 or something like that. The narcissist will try to leave like a $10 tip or something like that, right? And that's even though the person may just say thanks or whatnot and y'all going about your way, it's more or less so the thought fuel, because narcissists get thought fuel as well. So in their minds, it's like the person that they did that for feels good, which makes the narcissist feel good too, just to know that that person is feeling good because they went above and beyond. Like, it's overdoing it, you know what I mean? It's like unnecessarily overdoing that. And so, you know, people who go through this, when you're with a narcissist and you start seeing like, damn, you're like, you're treating people that better than me, you know what I mean? So when you start seeing this, it's kind of like, you know, it's designed to, you know, psychologically make you feel inferior, like kind of like a different type of passive punishment, right? When they're doing this, to you at least, when they're giving you that harsh treatment while showing you, displaying this, you know, nice and kind and considerate treatment to people who they don't know, you know. And so this is one of the things we wanted to touch up on tonight. And, you know, maybe get some feedback from the callers tonight. Have you experienced, have you went through a situation with the narcissist giving someone else, you know, nice, accommodating, friendly treatment while all the while treating you like, you know, treating you like crap, you know what I mean? So that's what we on tonight. So if anybody care to share their story in that you know, particular for that particular instance, you know, please do chime in, and everybody that's on the call, please make sure that we're staying on subject content for the topic. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's go ahead and take a call here. Yeah, 314.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Sunshine, calling from Missouri.
Sunshine. Missouri,
hi,
how
are you
doing out there in Missouri? I'm doing well. Thank you for calling in. You want to give us a detail on, you know, about an experience that you may have encountered with a narcissist, with them giving you harsh treatment while showing somebody else, you know, friendly, compassionate type treatment? Have you experienced that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, recently, I am POA from my mom's estate, and I had someone staying in my mom's home that was supposed to be a pastor, and her granddaughter was supposed to be doing in-home care for my mom. I ended up finding out the hard way that these people were not who they claimed to be. And I believe I left a comment under one of your videos one time mentioning this a couple of months ago. What ended up happening is, of course, they basically were con artists. They started deciding what they were going to take out of my mother's home, okay? And I basically had to end up asking them to leave. Luckily, I have a full camera system in my mother's home. And I could actually see them dismantling the cameras and the alarm system and all kinds of things. When I asked for them to leave, they told me they had nowhere else to go. But, I mean, that's not my problem. If you're doing things that are illegal and you're trying to steal out of the home, that's not my problem. So they were very nasty towards me because clearly I discovered that they weren't who they claimed to be. So, of course, the mask came off. And when the police got there, they came up with this wild story about they were these innocent victims. And this was while they were actually pretty much caught red-handed. The alarm system had went off. Mm-hmm. They weren't even supposed to be in the house anymore. And they were still playing innocent everything that you said they would say, you know, as far as a narcissist blueprint, they followed to a T. I was crazy. I'm a liar. You know, this is all while the alarm is still going off, by the way. They had completely dismantled the alarm system and all the cameras and were still playing victim. They had came there with the intentions of stealing everything out of the home and basically got caught and was still playing victim. This pastor, supposed pastor, also had cursed at me after one of the officers had left when nobody was looking. and this is supposed to be this sanctified, saved person, but showed me who they really were when nobody was looking. And I watched this person go to different people that know me and paint this picture that I was just this awful person, when in fact they were the ones that were basically criminals pretending like they were people of the church, you know? So, yeah, I just want to let people know that don't feel like you have to go along to get along. Go ahead and put your foot down, but be ready. Be ready. They, once that mask come off, whoo, they're going to give it to you.
Absolutely. 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 Well, thank you, Sunshine, for calling in and sharing that story. I think a lot of people are going to understand and relate to that in a different manner of, you know, especially when you honor them and you do decide to take the proper actions. They will respond and react in a totally different way, which is, you know, not going to be so much friendly in that nature, at least.
Yes, and I want people to know that this doesn't just apply to relationships as far as love interest. This goes with business. This goes with pretty much any type of interaction that you can have with people. You never know who is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So please, just, you know, keep your head up. And I thank you very much for what you're doing. And hopefully what you're doing will lead to some type of legal recourse for some of the things that have been done to those of us who have had to take financial hits because of these people. So I just want to thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you for your call, Sunshine. I appreciate you. Yeah. Yeah, you know, guys, what, everyone, that's one of the things, too. I mean, especially when you unmask them, so to speak, and you realize that, you know, what it is that you're dealing with these individuals and what's going on. When you do unmask them, when you do finally figure out who you're dealing with and what you're dealing with, that's pretty much the end for the narcissist. Because that's like that causes a serious narcissistic injury. I mean, they don't like that. They don't like when a person is not, you know, giving in to them, or, you know, still giving them the type of supply that they want to have. I mean, you're basically useless to the narcissist at that point. There's no, the game is over. If you're not going to be giving them supply, it's a done deal. So, yeah, but tonight's topic, everyone, the harsh treatment from narcissists. And have you experienced or witnessed that type of treatment when you're with them? And them giving that nice, accommodating treatment to, like, somebody completely, or like a complete stranger or whatnot, you know. So, you know, that's what we on tonight. We're going to be on that, and I'm going to take a call. Got 973 coming through. 973.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Thank you. How are you? Yes, I can hear
good,
you.
Good, good. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Jamie. I'm originally from New Jersey. That's 973. But I live in Florida now.
Okay. Okay, how you doing, Jamie?
So, I'm good. Thank you. I just want to say thank you, Clint. I've been following you from a long time now. And I actually had a one-to-one consultation with you that helped me tremendously. And it led to being where I am now, where, you know, we're in the process of divorcing. We have kids. But I'm recovering a lot, which is myself. And it's largely in part because of your videos. And, I mean, you're just, it's relentless, the resources that you offer. So I'm so thankful for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
But to stay on, you're welcome. to stay on topic, just in regards to what you were mentioning, I hopped on to the call and I listened and I said, oh my God, I had a very, very similar experience one time. It was a group of us, just couples. We were out in California and I stopped into a coffee shop, bought a latte, and coincidentally, the latte, it was given to me cold. So I wasn't happy. I went back. And the gentleman at the cashier kind of gave me back my money. But it was probably eight of us. So let's say $50 in worth of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So when the narc realized that I got my money back, because, of course, he gave us all, like, coffee that was, like, just not good. In front of all the others, I guess, to kind of make me feel bad and look bad, he snatched this $50 bill and brought it back to the cashier, which was the manager and the attendant, and
mm-hmm.
kind of made a statement like, I apologize for her. You didn't have to, you know, give us back the money. She just, he kind of made it seem like I'm just a complainer and how dare I get my money back. And that was just like in front of the group. So to me, and then this is like the cheapest guy ever. So to me, it was like, I found it so strange that I'm like, wait a minute. Normally he would try to get his money back or, you know, make some kind of effort to, you know, yeah, great. But because I did it
mm-hmm.
and the guy offered the money back, he just wanted me to look bad. And then on the same trip, my bag was stolen from our rental car out in San Francisco. And we had to go to the police department to file a report. I wasn't from the area, so of course I needed to get anything back and report the loss. So it was like he was just trying to make me out to be the difficult one amongst the group. And all of a sudden, of course, you know, I felt a little devastated that my bag was
mm-hmm.
stolen, my purse with all of my belongings. I had passports and everything. And in the middle
mm-hmm.
of the chaos, everyone's being like, you know, very concerned and apologetic that this had happened to me. And he said, you can go ahead. I'll stay behind in the car, which, of course, he knew that my expectation was that he was going to accompany me to the police department. I mean, to anyone, it would sound really petty, but I just, it's the temperature of what he wanted to set at the time, which was to make me look bad or make me seem difficult or needy. And it just, it was really bothersome how he
mm-hmm.
was trying really hard to make that movement amongst the group with me.
And you know, a lot of times when they do that, it's to invalidate you. It's to make you feel inferior and to make you feel less than what you're worth.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so when they do that in front of someone, it's to make it seem like you're foolish, you need correction, you don't know what you're doing, pardon them, you know, and it's kind of like making you look like inadequate, basically. So it's a way of being of condescending and insulting you, really,
mm-hmm.
to make you feel small, to make you feel less than them, and they get to appear larger than you, more powerful than you, more relevant than you in that moment.
It's funny you say that because I know that during the trip, again, six or eight couples, I think there we were, I kind of took charge of even driving, just my natural sense, just natural self. I kind of took charge of everything and people were starting to feel really comfortable. Okay, what's next? What's on the itinerary? Or, you know, which winery are we going to next? And I just, you know, I kind of studied it all. And I felt that he felt that I was kind of shining. Everyone was pretty grateful that I had just taken charge and they felt comfortable. So by that time when we got to these two scenarios, he just, I guess he felt the need to, you know, no, let's dim her light a little. So it totally makes sense for you to say that it was to invalidate her, you know.
Exactly. Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate the call. Thank you for sharing your story,
thank
too.
Thank you. This was so I look forward to more. Thank you.
Absolutely. I know. Yeah, you know, she made a good point. You know, narcissists, that particular thing that they like to do, because many of you, you probably experience the fact that narcissists are very competitive with you while even in a relationship. You'll notice how it seems to have a competitive vibe to it when you're with them. It's like you're competing with them. You're in a competition with them. And that's just one of the things where, you know, that the narcissist does. They're always looking to see, are you trying to outshine me? Are you trying to make me look bad and you look better than me? You know, it's one of those things that they're constantly looking at and worried about and reacting to. So we're going to go to the next call. I got 609. Coming to 609. 609, you're on the ASSE Direct Podcast. Are you there? Hello? 609? Going once? Going twice? I guess 609, I won't talk. We'll go to 651. Let's say 651. 651?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing? You're live. How you doing?
Hi. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Hi.
What's your name and where you calling from?
Jennifer in Minnesota.
Jennifer in Minnesota. How you doing, Jennifer?
I'm great.
You good?
So, yeah, I'm good. So, I do have a story. I had my ex, he accidentally called me without, you know,
mm-hmm.
him knowing. And he was actually trying to hit on a girl. And he was telling her, asking her if he could take her out and he could cook dinner for her. And I was actually on my way to his house. So I pulled up and I, you know, had to confront him. But he never, like, took me out or made dinner for me, so it made me feel really bad. So that was kind of messed
mm-hmm.
up. But another thing, too, towards the end, well, after we were broken up, I was always, like, his emotional dumpster. He would always yell at me when he was mad.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got with
mm-hmm.
his new supply, every time he was in a bad mood, they must have been in the love bombing stage. Every time he was in a bad mood, he would call me. It was an excuse to call me for his son. And somehow, some way, like, he would be yelling at me. So I don't even talk to him over the phone because of that. I don't even accept phone calls for his
mm-hmm.
kid because every time, yeah, and I know that, you know, he is probably not yelling at her. He doesn't want to, you know, he's probably hiding the way he really is. You know what I mean? But
mm-hmm.
I had to cut off calls. But that's another thing, like, you know, that's good for women to know that, you know, once they get with somebody new, that sometimes they will just call you to unload their anger out on you. And
well, yeah, that's
another
a good point because, you know, the thing is they're doing that because they don't want to mess up the current situation with the new supply. So if they do get mad at the new supply, they bring it to you. They bring that anger to you because they can release it without being judged by it. Now, they, you know, if they release that to the new supply, they'll run that new supply off. You know, they don't want to show that side of them too early. So they'll bring it back to you, and you won't be doing anything. And you'll be like, what's this for? And they'll make up something.
And it was like a whole triangulation thing for months. And I had to just cut off phone calls because it was so bad. But yeah, it was horrible. And he would, you know, play it off like I was crazy and, you know, but it would just be him instigating a fight, or I could tell something was going on in that house. Maybe something he was mad about and he had to call and dump his anger out on somebody because, you know, he couldn't show her. And he told me that. He's like, I never wanted to show her that side of me, but you're the one who brought it out of me. And it's your fault she's seen the side of me. And I'm like, what? Like, you're in a
yeah,
whole
it's,
state. How do I have anything
right.
to do with anything? Like, so I cut off all the conversations. If he wants to know something about his son, I just reply in email or text because he's just, yeah. He tries to even make a show for her every time he used to call, like, even say things that didn't even make sense. So I had to cut that off.
Well, it's good that
you
came up with an effective way of coping with that, and I think that will help to neutralize and stop a lot of him being condescending towards you and trying to invalidate you and make you feel smaller. But I do think I think that'll work in the long run, and I think it'll be even healthier for you. Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate you calling in and sharing with everyone.
Thank
I appreciate
you for
it.
Taking my call. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, you know, that was a good point. Said she had to pull up on him. You know, but, you know, you'll be getting, you know, I don't think it was one of them thug-type situations, like when the goons pull up. But, nah, a lot of times when you do, narcissists don't want to be confrontational, especially if they're around their new source. They're going to let you be the aggressor. Okay, they're going to fall back and act like, you know, what's going on, and they're just going to, and you'll see a whole nother character from them. You'll see this meek, humble, submissive character, especially if they're around other people. They'll play it all the way out so that you are the aggressor and that you look like the one that has the issue. But again, we're speaking on the harsh treatment of narcissists tonight. And your experience, and if you've witnessed and how you felt by seeing a narcissist giving that friendly, kind treatment to someone else while treating you bad. Anyway, we're going to 812. You're on live. 812. Hello. 812. Going once, twice. I think 812 wants to say it. I'm going to go to 484. 484. You're on live. 484. Hello? We got a couple lists not coming through. We're going to go to 303. Just going to move down the line. 303. You're on live. 303. Once, twice. Might have people just listening tonight. All right. So 267. Hello? Hello? Oh, we got somebody. Let me go ahead and mute that people. I'm going to just go ahead and go through with a lot of people that's not ready. Listen, if you press 1, that means you want to talk. So if you're on and I come to you, you're in the call queue to speak. So... let's go to 757. 757, you're on live. 757. Hello. Alright. I'm going through with it. I think a lot of people just listening tonight, so we're gonna keep it pushing. Anyway, yeah, so the reason a lot of times, as some of the first callers were saying, a lot of times when you see that that treatment, that it's a mixture of, it is a mixture of triangulation. You know, triangulation is important for the narcissist to implement in these situations, because when they're triangulating you, of course, they make it always seem as though the other person has something that is significantly better than you. And that is their reason, that's their reasoning at least behind their treatment being, I guess you can say, better towards that person or giving another person better treatment. They try to come up with stuff to say that, well, this person doesn't judge me, this person listens to me and all this. And you have to be mindful. They're saying this after all of the crap they didn't put you through to make you alter the way that you would respond to them. Like, you didn't start responding to them like that in the beginning either until you started finding out who they really were. And that's what changed it, right? So, of course, this new source doesn't know. The new source is in the blind. And the new source isn't going to be, I guess you can say, reacting or responding to the narcissist with acquired knowledge of who they are. They're not going to respond that way either. They're going to be, you know, in that the fantasy land and in the fun house, you know, at that point, because the narcissist is putting on an act with them. They don't know what's going on, and they think all of the mannerisms and the kindness that they're receiving from the narcissist is genuine. They think that's a genuine thing, that is just who that person is and how they operate. Until later they find out, well, they've been duped. They've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, the whole nine. That's just the way it goes. You know, and many people don't find this out until way later. You know, you never see that in the beginning with the narcissist, because that would defeat the purpose of really securing a source. You know, so the harsh treatment comes, you know, when you begin to break down and dissect who these individuals really are. When you stop going for the sweet, kind things that they do after they done something really terrible to you. You're not going for it. You're not going. And the narcissist does not like that, because you're not mirroring back to them what they want to see. You're mirroring to them who they really are. And that becomes a problem. I'm going to go to the lines again. I got 202 in queue. 202, I'm about to come to you right now. If you got something to say you want to share with us. 202? 202, you going once, twice. Guess we're not going to be on there. I got 208 right, and 218 prefix right behind 202. So I'm going to come to 218 if you got something to say. 218? 218. Going once, twice. It's 218 silent too. We got a lot of people just listening in tonight. But let me go. I got one more. I got 718 in queue. 718, you're live. You got anything you want to say? 718. Going once. Twice. Hello? There you go.
Hello.
I can hear you. Yeah, you're live. You're on the ASSC Direct podcast. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Tanya from Queens, New York.
Tanya from Queens. Thank you. It's good to have you on. You want to share with us any experience you've had with witnessing the narcissist giving somebody else that they may have not even known or anything like that better treatment than you?
Well, just... all the time, I see it with anyone. Like, if we go out, and you know, but when we are back with no one there, they're a totally different person. And so I'm in the process of detaching myself. However, it's a hard process, but I'm in the process of doing it. But with everyone. And it's always like insults or belittling. Even if we're in the store, it's like, oh, you can't because you don't listen, or stuff like that. Always.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, when you say that, is that verbally putting you down to where other people can hear it, or is it kind of like, you know, beneath the surface, like, you know?
It's in a way, like, it's where other people can hear it, but they can't, they don't catch it. Like, it's mm-hmm. so weird because I can be right there, and I'm like, why would he say that? But it's less like, oh, well, mm-hmm. she didn't do this, and she don't know how to do that. Or get, like, he says things that I'm like, other people are not really, they may catch it, but it'll go over their head. But I'm like,
mm-hmm.
and then some people will say something like that we're around and be like, oh, no, why would you say that or something like that? And then he'll switch it up and say, oh, no, that's not what I meant, you know. But then
mm-hmm.
it's just weird all the time. It's like a competition or belittling, or you can't do this, or you can't do this right, or it's all the time.
Now, have you experienced where is it an apology that comes from? Have you ever gotten an apology afterwards, or is it just blown off and just forgotten about?
Well, you know, in the beginning, I got an apology, but it's been a while, and now it's just blown off, or he'll get mad if I say, like, you know, why did you say that, or why, whatever it is, he'll get mad. And there's no apology
mm-hmm.
whatsoever. Yeah.
And this is a continuum where you're seeing this. Cause one of the things that I always say to people is, like, you know, the feelings of the person when this happens, because it's really just a form of belittling the person,
mm.
you know,
so they can feel
and
bad.
How it, right. So making you feel small, belittling you, making you feel like, you know, you're just some mess up, and that they have, you know, all of the answers to fix your imperfections, when really they're the ones that's broken,
mm.
you know. But I thank you for tuning in to and sharing your story with everyone tonight. Appreciate you for the call. And,
hey, thank
you know,
you.
Make sure you tune in next time, too. I mean, we'll be here. It's every Wednesday, y'all, for everybody else. And, you know, every Wednesday, 9 p.m., we're going to get some other guests and stuff on there, too. But thank you, sister. I appreciate you. I'll try to get one more call in before we wrap it up. Go to 607. 607, you're on live. 607, going once, twice. It's in that on. I'll go to 469. 469, you're in queue. 469.
Hello?
Hey,
hello?
There you go. You're on the SSC Direct. Yeah, we can hear you. I hear you.
Hi,
let me see here. Let me put you in queue. Okay. Can I get your name and where you're calling from? I think that's Dallas, if I'm not mistaken. I might be
it
off.
It is, so. Absolutely. No, this is Shonda from Dallas. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks very much.
You want to share with us any type of stories about harsh treatment you may have received and how it made you feel when you saw them giving, you know, kind treatment to someone else?
Sure. And so, well, I have one particular incident that I'll share. And basically, you know, I guess in the love bombing stage, this individual was very supportive in terms of me, you know, accomplishing my own ventures. I wanted to write a book, and just in the beginning, just offering copious amounts of support. And so when I would make strides to, you know, make actual progress, then it was just like crickets. It was just no, you know, mm-hmm. nothing to be said. And what's more, I invited him to kind of an opening that my girlfriend was having because she had just finished and launched her book. And so it was contrasted by the fact that when I was making strides, it was absolute silence and nothing was said. And it was just kind of a hum. But when we went to this
mm-hmm.
event, he actually purchased the book and made just a big to-do about it, and it was just the contrast was glaring. And so I just remember feeling at that moment that it became real clear to me that it was deliberate, and it just kind of underscored just how profoundly insecure and really gravely ill that these people are, because it's just, you know, on the one hand, he could really want people to believe that he was very supportive, very humble, very just this nice, supportive individual. But in fact, if he could just flip the switch like that and just to someone who is closest to him, or one would think, just turn it off and be absolute cold as ice, it was just that was a turning point for me to when I began to really see the truth about how really sick these people really are.
Absolutely, you know, when and it's because it's kind of like their world, their illusion, and the exaggerated sense of importance of themselves, it has to take precedence over everything else and everyone else. You know, it's their driving factor that keeps them going. Without that, they're nothing. I mean, they're really nothing without having that exaggerated sense of self and self-importance and all that, those things. That's what keeps them going. And so at any point that is threatened, or they feel that it's being compromised, even if it's something, an achievement that you're getting, they have to shut it down. They have to shut whatever it is that looks like it may be greater than them. They have to shut that down. And that's why they go out their way to constantly seek attention, and because attention is just reinforcement of what they already have identified themselves to be with that false character, right? So they've identified themselves to be a certain way and a certain thing with this false character that they give off. So now they have to get reinforcing factors and to complement that, to make them really believe it even more so. So this is how they get locked into believing their own lies, because they intentionally go out to seek situations and individuals who's going to validate all of the falsehoods that they've created within that structure of basically insanity.
Right.
And that's why it works. Right. That's why it goes that way. And anything that threatens that, anything that gets even close to making them feel otherwise, they have to abandon it. That's why the discard phase comes in so abruptly and all of a sudden, because it's beginning to overshadow the false self. There's a conflict when reality crosses over into their illusions, into their being grandiose, all of those things. There's a conflict when reality starts to seep in there. They can't take reality. Reality would be equivalent to kryptonite. Like Superman is, you know, kryptonite is his weakness. Well, reality is the narcissist's weakness. You know what I mean?
Right.
It can't deal with
that.
Yeah,
definitely so.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I thank you for the call, Shonda.
Thank you.
Appreciate you for tuning in. Yeah, you're welcome. And make sure you're back again next week at 9 Eastern at least, same time. I believe that would be 8 Central.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll do it.
Yeah. We're going to have to wrap it up, y'all. It's been a quick little episode that we got out the way, but as I was just saying, you know, narcissists, that's where a big part of the psychosis comes in, is them not wanting to accept who they are, you know, them not wanting, you know, to cope with who they are. You know, the way I see it, I'd rather people hate me for who I am than to love me for who I'm not. You know, just being yourself, that's a powerful virtue, just to be yourself. You know, it helps you build, you know, self-esteem, self-confidence, and a lot of other things. And the more you can be yourself and feel comfortable with that, the more powerful you become. You know, worrying about what other people are going to think and say, it's a really toxic part of the ego that really holds us back. And so when you see the narcissist going out and continuously trying to solicit the attention and the admiration to reaffirm and confirm who they want to portray to be instead of being who they are, I mean, that means they're dependent on other people, literally. So something to think of, just something to think about. Again, I appreciate everyone that tuned in tonight. Thank you for all the callers who tuned in and gave y'all stories and whatnot. I appreciate all of y'all as well. We'll be right back at it again. I'll have some guests coming on in the near future on the show. Again, y'all make this happen. I mean, the more people tune in, the better. And we usually get a good crowd. So if you missed the episode or if you ever want to hear it again, make sure you go to YouTube and go to ASSC Group Network and subscribe and then hit that notification bell so that you can always catch any episode, even if you miss it. And again, 9 p.m. Eastern Wednesdays, that's the time and that's the place. Again, y'all, thank y'all for tuning in. Y'all have a good night. I'll talk to y'all next time.